Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. On this episode, Yona Weiss brings on Robert Martinez to find out the secrets to consistently getting Rockstar's communities to the top three spots in the nation for resident satisfaction. Continue your real estate education journey and learn about how Robert Martinez sets the standards for B-class properties around Texas and how they interact with their residents. You'd be surprised how reputation can maximize real estate investor returns.
Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yona Weiss. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce you guys to someone who you may have heard of in the apartment industry. Okay, he's, you know, in Texas, especially Houston, his hometown. He is a household name. Robert Martinez, thanks for joining me today.
Man, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's truly a pleasure. I mean, he's called the apartment rock star. And, you know, and that's his company's name, Rockstar Capital. And I don't mean, you know, rockstar like, you know, puking and, you know, groupies and that kind of rockstar. He's like the real deal. The guy who's literally taken down, you know, owns 21 apartment communities, you know, over 3,700 apartment units, all in Houston. Okay, so you're a local superstar. You've been honored in countless, I mean, awards for your apartment communities. You've been recognized in the Houston Business Journal, in, you know, in places like Forbes and Money Magazine and Business Insider, Entrepreneur, so many CNBC. How did you come to such fame in the apartment? I mean, literally, apartment rock star, because you're getting the fame that you deserve in this. Tell me a little bit more about how Rockstar Capital started and how you've grown to who you are today.
Well, hey, first again, thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited. I love your title. That's awesome. I love about marketing. You know, you've got a great last name, and I think you've used it well in your title. Again, thank you. My name is Robert Martinez. I'm known in some circles as the apartment rock star. You know, I got started in real estate back in 2007. But before that, I didn't know a single thing about real estate. You know, I grew up in a middle-class family. My dad worked at Whataburger. My mom worked at Levi's, later Hager's. Both of those plants later closed down and moved to Mexico. And my parents taught me just a lot of, you know, the hard knocks of life and explained to me it's not going to come easy. And, you know, education is your way to get out and to level yourself up. And so that's what I did. I went to school, got good grades. I have an engineering degree from Texas A&M. And I went to work for corporate America. What my parents did not prepare me for was corporate America. They didn't prepare me for what life was like because they thought that's how it's supposed to be. Again, my dad worked for Whataburger, which is a mega company here in Texas. They got hundreds and hundreds of stores. They just sold out to a big firm out of Chicago, I think, for, you know, billions of dollars. And my dad helped to build that business. My dad was literally the smartest guy that I knew. He taught me generosity. He taught me integrity, honesty. And most importantly, he gave me opportunities. But what he didn't teach me was how it was like in corporate America. And probably that's why he got abused the way he did in corporate America, working really hard, helping somebody else make a lot of money and not really getting his share of that. It's one of those lessons that you learn later in life. But, you know, I'm a sales guy at heart. I have a sales background. I have an engineering background. They put me out in the field to go speak the lingo, go talk to the guys with PhDs and see if I can sell my company's products. And I was really good at it. But again, corporate America came in. And if you start making too much, corporate America wants to play with your commission plan. They want to monkey with your territory. They want to kind of, you know, help the masses out, spread the wealth a little bit. And that's not how I'm wired. You know, I'm very capitalistic. I think you should get what you put into it. And after that happening two or three times to me, I realized that wasn't the plan for me. I didn't want to do what my dad did. I didn't want to do with a lot of people everybody around me did. I wanted to find something different. And so I started looking around for different ways to first supplement the income that my employer was siphoning away from me. And I use that word siphoning because that's what he was doing. He was siphoning away my compensation to give it to somebody else. My hard work, my effort. What's that?
Also, the IRS is siphoning away your income. You know.
But you know what? At least I know that, right? And there's rules way around that. There's no rules around that in corporate America. They can make policy and decision whenever they want. So if you don't understand the rules, you shouldn't play that game. And really, it's fixed. Just like it is in Vegas, it's fixed. The house is always going to win. And so I found ways to, you know, different kinds of opportunities that maybe supplement my income. And real estate mm-hmm. kind of just fell on me. There was I used to be in the car a lot. I was heading to my different appointments, and in the car I'd be listening to these different broadcasts. And I'm wondering, is this real? Are what they're saying true? I'm gonna go find out. So I went to an educational seminar. I was like, wow. It was literally like red pill, blue pill moment during Matrix, right? Where Morpheus is talking to Neo, yeah. You know, take this pill, you go back to your everyday life. You know, this will just feel like a dream. Take the blue pill and you'll really open your eyes up. And that's what real estate was for me. I had no idea what real estate would become for me. It has absolutely changed my life. It's changed the life of the people that work with me. It's changed my family's life. It's just been an amazing ride. And so within that, I've owned and operated over 5,000 apartment units. I have hundreds of investors today. I've won the Houston City Owner of the Year 2 times. I've won the National Owner of the Year 2 times. And our company as a whole has won 17 city, state, and national apartment association awards. Today we have 21 communities that we operate, all owner managed, just under 3,800 units with an asset value of approximately $400 million.
So how do you create that kind of community, that environment that you've done to create an award-winning, you know, apartment communities?
Well, I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And I remember in corporate America, it was about the company. It wasn't about the employee. It wasn't about the staff. So when I started Rockstar Capital, I wanted to make sure that the employee, that the staff felt part of the business. I wanted to make sure that they didn't just feel like a number. So for many of my early staff, I definitely put a lot of extra time into them. And I say, hey, you know, what's important to you? Is it buying your first car? Is it getting out of debt? Is it getting your house? Is it continuing your education? Okay, what can I do to help? Well, when you're a little bit older in life, you can appear to have all the answers to a younger person. And they look at you as for mentorship. They look at you for advice as that sage, you know, elder or big brother or something. And stuff that's very elementary to me can be game-changing to somebody else. Just like apartments became very game-changing to me, but for somebody else, it's elementary to them, right? Because they're further down the map. So I thought that I could help my friends, my staff, by imparting on them my knowledge, helping them get further down the path. You know, what I didn't know at the time was I was mentoring early. I was teaching people how to get further down the map. And when you do that, typically people remember you. They remember that, wow, he made what was important to me important to him. Maybe I can help him out. And when you realize that the person sitting in the chair is running a multi-million dollar business on every decision she or he makes, they'll start making better decisions for you. And I think that's how our company grew. We started to share a little bit in the wins and the wealth and what was going on. And everybody started to feel more of a community approach.
Wow. And obviously that trickles down throughout your management. I mean, you have integrated property management through all your properties. And I'm sure that, you know, that follows suit in the tenants, the residents in those communities. Do they, you know, do you do certain activities or get them involved in community activities as well? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, there are, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of communities, apartment communities across America, you know, well over 100,000. Is there, you know, to become the number one, like, what does it take in terms of the actual apartment community? Or is it judged more on the management themselves?
You know, it's great that you said that, because that's a great segue for me to kind of promote my business a little bit and in our how we believe. So the secret in apartment investing, and tell me if you have ever heard of this, you make your money when people renew, not when people move in. Have you ever heard that before? That is the truth. That is the reality in apartment investing. You don't want people moving in. You want them renewing. Because it's about the NOI, right? Rent minus expenses equals NOI. Well, if people are renewing, they're probably going to renew at an income bump. They're not moving out, so you don't have the normal expenses associated with the move out. So doesn't your NOI grow? As an apartment owner, as a syndicator of deals, I want my NOI as high as possible. Doesn't it only not make sense to have people stay as long as possible? So how do you do that? Right. Well, I like to replace all the air conditions in all of our apartment communities. Day one item on our renovation, when we do an acquisition, we replace all the air conditions out. The reason why is because people move out because of maintenance. And the number one maintenance headache is air conditions. And in Houston, Texas, today it is 90 something degrees. All weekend long, it was 95 plus. That air condition cannot break. It cannot be down.
Yeah.
So if you buy a community and you replace all the air conditions, you've now not only got new warranties, but you've reduced and you've eliminated the number one reason why somebody might move out. Then when you've done all that, you need the residents to sell your story, right? Mm-hmm. I used to be afraid of apartmentratings.com. I used to be afraid of these, of Google and all these review sites. But why was I afraid? I was afraid because I was letting people who were upset with me control my narrative. When we woke up and realized we need to control our narrative, we need to control our story, we need to go out there and solicit those reviews from the residents that are happy. It's not about the guy who's getting kicked out because he doesn't want to park in his spot and instead wants to park in a handicapped spot or in the fire lane, or the person who can't pay their rent. Where's the story of the guy that just renewed with it, that just renewed for the third time? Where's the story of that new couple that just got their first apartment together? Aren't they happy when they're renewing? Aren't they happy when they're moving in? Where's their story? And so we decided that we would go and start to promote those stories. And doing that, if you take an active interest in controlling your narrative, you can really raise your review scores. You can raise your moving percentages, because people want to be at places like that. When you go to Open Table, you go to these places, right? Travel Advisor. You're going to make your decision based on all the reviews.
Yeah.
Don't you want to control that narrative?
That's incredibly valuable. Yeah, for sure. That's huge. I mean, that's incredibly valuable knowledge for anyone, really, in any industry. But obviously, anyone who's in the apartment owning business, that's precisely where people are going to be looking. You know, they're going to Google your apartment. They're going to look and see your reviews there. And if you just have poor reviews or a handful or a mix, you're going to be in trouble there. So that's a great advice way to kind of control that in a controlled environment, which it's just about being proactive, Robert, right? I mean, it sounds like Absolutely. That's what you guys did.
I'm really excited because there's 130,000 communities out there. And on J. Turner Research, we've got 5 in the top 1%. Per apartmentratings.com, we have 16 of our 21 properties are ranked in the top 250 in the country, including 1, 2, and 3. Including 6 in the top 10. Nobody can say that. We've really understood what it takes to get successful operations, and it starts with taking care of your residents and then promoting that story.
And it sounds like that itself adds value, because when people are researching your community and they come up as like the top apartment to live in the country, right? That you can obviously, you know, your rental increases can relate to that that kind of publicity.
If you get the demand, right? Because there's a lot of noise out there, right? People are doing their research online all week long. They don't show up on a Saturday morning and tour 10 apartment deals anymore. They know where they want to go. They look at the reviews. They look at the video. They look at everything about that community, and then they make a determination. And the first one they go to on Saturday, it's probably the one that they're going to move into. And we want to make it our job, our purpose to be that choice. And hey, you know what? During COVID-19, 35% of our leases came from our virtual reality tours. We hadn't spent the money on those 24, 36 months ago, the time, the effort, the commitment of the resources to learn that, we would have suffered. We actually gained market share during COVID-19. Our NOIs actually went up. When everybody else is hurting, We weren't closed for business. Our doors were open 24/7. And in fact, we have more leases at this point this year than we did last year. Yet our leads are down. Why is that, Yona? They're down because nobody was going to the properties, right? But what they did was they found your website, and they saw good reviews, and they saw the website, and they saw an ability to lease online and do the whole thing online without having to come in to the office. We had a really high conversion. 30% of our leases that came in during COVID-19 were of the variety where they never came into the office, as opposed to 7% the 12 months before.
Wow, that's incredible. And that just goes to show you the power of online branding, online marketing, which it sounds like that's part of the rock star mentality, right? Let me just ask you, go on that, on that line. We're talking about during COVID-19. Obviously, everyone has been affected by this, and especially, you know, the real estate industry has been affected. You guys own 21 apartment communities. Are you still doing deals during this time? I mean, what's been that like for you?
Well, right now is a great stopping point. You know, we had a deal that we had in contract. We had another deal that I was minutes away from sending the earnest money to. And we put a stop to that. You know, I walked away from $50,000 earnest money because of COVID-19. That is gone and it may not come back. The other one I was about to send $100,000 to, and I paused because I realized I can't invest in something where I can't control the variables of life right now. There's too much going on. They're talking about like a national shutdown, shelter at home orders. I can't do it to my staff and I can't do it to my investors. So we stopped. But COVID-19 was the best thing that ever happened to us by far in the history of this company, because it forced us to stop focusing in growth, and it forced us to put 100% of our focus on our operations. We've made a lot of improvements in the last 60 to 90 days, from staff changes to procedural changes to just a lot of ways we change what we do business, because it doesn't make sense anymore. But we kept going forward and we're just like, you know, it's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough. When you realize, no, it's not. You know, COVID-19 was amazing for us.
And what's been your biggest challenge during this time, though?
The biggest challenge of COVID-19 is, you know, getting away from what used to work. And as I mentioned before, we made a lot of change, but change isn't easy. Change is difficult. Yes. It's the one constant of life is change, but accepting the change is very difficult. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for the staff that's impacted. It's difficult for everything. So it's just an understanding that what used to work doesn't work anymore, because we're not playing for today. We're playing for tomorrow. Just like we were playing for today yesterday. You've got to just be able to adapt, be able to keep moving forward and realize that what got you here may not be what's going to get you to the next level. You got to evolve. You got to adapt. You got to become the person that you want to be. And that's been the biggest change, that not everybody can accept it right away. It's difficult for me to propose it, but I know where we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. 100%. If you could share with us, maybe what's one of those operational changes that you actually put into practice or in the process of changing since this onset?
Yeah, you know, a number one in my business recently left our company. And it was a difficult separation. It was, do you want to do this? Is this somebody who's been there from the beginning? But you realize it's time. It's time for a change. It's time to get a new set of eyes, a fresh set of eyes, a different kind of attitude, a different kind of experience and perspective. And that was the big piece. That was the number one, I think, that has occurred. But we're going to be better for it right now. We brought in somebody else that has replaced them, that has the resume, the track record, the operational experience, and I think it's going to be great for us.
Good luck with that. I wish you much continued success with that. I'd love to just jump right into the final four over here, Robert.
Yeah.
So first question for you is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
You know, I was thinking about this question when you posed it to me offline. You know, I don't remember a worst job, because I think you take a little bit of every job that you have. You may like it, you may not like it, you know, especially now as an adult, right? I can tell you, that I hated flipping fries, you know, back in the day when I worked at Whataburger. But I can tell you as an adult today, I there was a lot of character that was being built there, you know, and you realize how hard that job is, and coming home, smelling like French fries, being oily, you know, breaking out, just realizing, wow, I'm selling myself for $3.65. That's what it was back in the day. And you realize, wow, I don't want to live like that, but everyday Americans live like that. And I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want the people around me to live like that. I want them to be able to have skills, but I was like that because I didn't have any skills. All I was a piece of meat and labor. That's all I was. And you have to add skill set. You have to add experience to be able to be worth more, to demand more. That taught me later on in my business life where, you know, I have managers that were in this business at one time making $30,000 an hour. I have managers that are making quite a bit more, but I'm getting more from them. I'm getting better decisions. You know, when you think about that manager sitting in the chair is running a multi-million dollar business, you better pony up. You better not cut corners. You better hire that manager that is demanding that, because they believe that's what their time is worth. And if they believe that's what their time is worth, that means they're making better decisions. than the guy making 30 some thousand dollars an hour. So you see how the little life things, you know, come into play later on as you become an adult. I was 16, 18 years old. I'm 45 today, you know, but you remember those things that built you. And now you understand, why was I making 365? Well, because that's what I was worth. I had no marketable skills at that point as a 16-year-old.
100%. We have to continue to learn. And, you know, segue into the next couple of questions really about that. What's a book you've read that's giving you a paradigm shift?
You know, I'm going to go back to the Morpheus example, right, with Neo. The very first time I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right, mm-hmm. I read that I was in a car on the way. I think I was driving from College Station where my school was at back home. And I had it on cassette. You know, this is back in 1995, 96, 97 timeframe, whenever that book first came out. And I had it and it made no sense to me. And I literally threw it out the window. I thought, this is the stupidest waste of money that I've ever spent. Whatever, I bought it at, you know, at Barnes & Noble or somewhere like that. And then later, when I got into real estate in 2007, part of the educational training was reading that book. I'm like, oh gosh, I know this book. All right, I'll read it. And it's amazing to me how it was a eureka moment. It all made sense. And I'm like, geez, it took a little maturity in me, 10 years of corporate America, 10 years of becoming an adult and understanding that you don't like the game. That game, that book changed the game for me. When I learned that book, I better understood what the instructors at the Real Estate Academy were trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That just goes to show you, you know, not every piece of knowledge is appropriate for each person, because it speaks to different person at different stages. And you can only, you know, you can only accept or receive what you have made a vessel for. And, you know, as a kid, sometimes you're not even able, without that maturity, without the life experience, you're not even able to integrate, you know, some of the most incredible wisdom that's out there. So yeah, I think that experience, that for a lot of people, that book has been.
But you know what? I think if I had a mentor, Yona, if I had a real estate mentor at that time, at 23 mm-hmm. years old, instead of finding one later on when I was 32, it may have made the difference. I needed someone to explain to me the book and why it's important. Because when I read it later on, I wasn't already in a real estate academy. I had a bunch of mentors. I had a bunch of other colleagues that were in that, right? So I think it's having someone explain it down to you to make it easier to swallow.
100%. And so what's, you know, talking about how you, the life skills that you learned later on and continually learning, obviously, my third question is always, what's a skill or talent you'd like to learn?
Man, you know what? It's really interesting, right? Because in my business, I've learned to double down on my strengths and hire in or recruit my weaknesses, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, and in this chair, I can wear a lot of hats, and I have worn every single hat within the business, right? From underwriter to marketing to operations, right? But you can go out and double down on what you're great at. And I think that sales on my side, being able to innovate and strategize a little bit and figure out where societal trends are going and where we need to go as a business. And then, you know, hiring out your weakness. But man, I've always wanted to sing. I it's not a business skill by any means, but I would love to be able to carry a tune and sing more. Maybe as part of my personality, I like speaking out a little bit. I like talking. I like trying to mentor. And I think,
part,
you know,
it's,
wow,
part of the brand.
I could sing,
huh? It's part of the brand.
It's part of the brand. If I could just sing, it'd be amazing.
You know, a rock star that could sing is much better than one that doesn't. So,
well, I that's true. But unlike most true rock stars, I don't have to work for my dinner. My dinner's already coming in every single day because of my passive income. And that's a business rock star.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. The best part. And so the fourth and final question, Robert, is what does success mean to you?
Success to me personally means that I can get older one day and not look back and think that I didn't achieve enough. You know, I've got a lot of God-given skills. I got a lot of talent, and I owe it to myself and I owe it to my family. I owe it to those around me to live up to that potential, to make sure that I take advantage of my time on earth and that I'm able to not only help my family out and achieve potential, but also to help those around me to achieve their potential as well. Because at the end of the day, if you're not trying to help others, then, you know, what are you trying to do? You know, so I think I've got purpose. I think I know what I want to do. And I think it's why I love doing what I do. And I'm excited about coming to work every day.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Robert. Where can our listeners find you if they want to reach out to you?
I really appreciate that, company. The opportunity. I had a great time today, Yona. It was fantastic. If you like what you've heard and you want to connect with me, please find me on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar or on LinkedIn under Robert Martinez. I generate a bunch of free content and articles. Our YouTube channel at Apartment Rockstar. Additionally, we've now come up with some coaching courses. So if you're interested in learning more about multifamily and want to learn from the only two-time National Owner of the Year, you can go to theapartmentrockstar.com, sign up for our coaching, and you'll be able to get some great courses.
That's awesome. Sounds amazing. This has been really informative. I mean, I've learned a tremendous amount, both about you, your company, and, you know, some of the incredible insight that's gotten you to where you are today. I appreciate you joining me, and thank you. I just want to thank you and wish you a lot of success going forward.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Good luck with the podcast.
Oh man, thank you. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us once again. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. If you want to learn more about Robert Martinez, feel free to go to www.theapartmentrockstar.com. Follow him on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar. Connect through LinkedIn at Robert Martinez. If you're interested in apartment investing through Rockstar Capital, go to investors.rockstarcapital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.